Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet a new Yellow Ribbon company and learn about an upcoming Medal of Honor event coming to the Twin Cities. This past week, we lost two young veterans due to unforeseen circumstances. The first service member is Sergeant Derek Butte from Alden, Minnesota. He was a college student at Winona State University and an Army National Guard medic. We lost him tragically when he fell on railroad tracks and was fatally struck by a freight train last week in Winona. He deployed in Iraq in 2012 with the Red Bulls and was studying to be a physician's assistant. We also lost Marine Sergeant Dylan Semolina from Chaska, Minnesota, when the helicopter he was in collided with another helicopter during a training exercise in Hawaii. Dylan played football for Delano High School and had plans of becoming an RN when his service commitment to the Marines was over. Dylan was a crew chief on one of the CH-53E Super Stallions. We lost two young veterans this week, and they will be truly missed and remembered. Let's pause for a moment in respect to these fallen service members. Well, now it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
February 3, 1943, a United States Army transport, the SS Dorchester, tragically sank off the coast of Greenland. Witnesses of the event recounted the heroic actions of four chaplains of different faiths, whose heroic and selfless acts that day saved the lives of many men. The chaplains included Lieutenant George L. Fox, a Methodist, Lieutenant Alexander D. Good, of Jewish faith, Lieutenant John P. Washington, a Catholic, and Lieutenant Clark V. Poling, a Dutch Reformed minister. During the 18 minutes the transport was sinking, the four chaplains went sailor to sailor to calm fears and to hand out life jackets. When there were no more life jackets to hand out, the four chaplains removed their own life vests and gave them to the troops in need of protection. The four chaplains went down with the ship, arm in arm, in prayer. The chaplain's unique interfaith spirit and love for their fellow men is a lesson for all and amplifies the quality and dedication of the chaplain corps in the military.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us today are two members from the most recent Yellow Ribbon came recently proclaimed here in Minnesota, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and joining us today is Avery Harrington and Stacia Cohen. Avery, Stacia, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
We'll start with Stacia. Avery, you're going to have to take a back seat on this one.
You got it.
Ladies first.
Yep.
Stacia, I understand that you were in the United States Army.
That's correct. I was on active duty for a number of years back in the 1980s.
And did you enjoy your time in the service?
I did. I learned a great deal.
Terrific. And your position now with Blue Cross and Blue Shield?
I'm the Vice President of the Medicare Star Center of Excellence.
And you're involved in the committee that was put together to become Yellow Ribbon.
I'm very privileged to be the executive chairperson of that committee, yes.
All right. And now we need to meet Avery. And Avery, I understand you were in the Marine Corps.
That's correct. I enlisted in the Marine Corps Reserves to rebel from my hippie parents out of high school. It was the only thing I could to rebel. And some people might not know this, but when you enlist in the Reserves, it's a six-year commitment mostly instead of a four-year commitment for most active duty positions. And I enlisted in 97, which means that I was going to end in 03. So I always remind my parents if I had enlisted normally, I probably would have gotten out before Iraq. And because I listened to them, I deployed to Iraq for the first 9 months of Operation Iraqi Freedom.
And, of course, right in the middle of that was September 11, 2001.
Very true. Very true.
And did your parents get used to calling you a Marine?
They did. They're extraordinarily proud of me, that's for sure.
And they know once a Marine, always a Marine.
Always. Always faithful.
So they're going to have to live with this for the rest of their life.
That's the only way I could get back at them.
And Avery, you were involved in the committee at Blue Cross Blue Shield as well?
That's correct. We have a veterans employee group there, and this idea was brought to us. And we took a quick look at it, figured out what obstacles were remaining for us to get to become a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company, and quite honestly, there weren't many. But the one obstacle that we couldn't do as employees on our own was get senior leadership buy-in. And we pitched it to Stacia, and about 10 minutes later, we were up and running. And in record time, the state proclaimed us a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company. So everything went really well.
And Stacia, can you share with us what type of things did you have to go through to become Yellow Ribbon? You had to put together a plan.
So there's a pretty robust action plan about how you'll support military-connected people in your organization, both active and retired. And there's a fairly robust work plan that gets done that speaks to how are you going to support military veterans and their families in the employment process. How are you going to be a military-friendly organization as an employer?
And you worked with Annette Kuiper to go through that process?
We did. She's fabulous.
And she's not here, so Annette Kuiper is the Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And she was, do you know that she was one of the first communities to become Yellow Ribbon in Minnesota?
I did.
And she's been very busy ever since.
She was. We were just at an event in Eagan last week that she led with the key stakeholders in Eagan, and obviously as a company who's headquartered in Eagan that felt like an important connection for us to make was with the Eagan community. And the stuff they're doing there is just amazing.
She does a good job. We've had her on the show quite often. Now, can you tell us how big an organization is Blue Cross and Blue Shield in Minnesota?
Blue Cross has about 3,400 employees in a number of different buildings on several different campuses, both here in the Twin Cities and in greater Minnesota.
Do you keep track of how many those employees are veterans?
Well, veteran status is self-disclosed, so people can choose to share that with us or not. We do have a pretty robust veterans employee resource group, as Avery mentioned. We have an active presence of 80 in that group, growing all the time, but we don't exactly have a full head count on how many veterans we have on campus.
So how long, Avery, how long did it take you to put this plan together to Annette's satisfaction?
Like I said before, we had a lot of the minimum requirements done, but of course we didn't want to just do the minimum. So we identified some goals for us to reach for in the coming months and years. But from start to finish, I believe the entire process for us took about 6.5, 7 months, I believe. And most of the legwork happened in the first 4 or 5 months, collecting the requirements, figuring out what we had done into the past to hit those minimum thresholds. And then the last 2 months were with senior leadership and getting their buy-in and all their ideas to make it better.
And then I understand on January 22nd, 2016, just recently, you became a Yellow Ribbon company. What was that proclamation ceremony like?
It was wonderful. We were really proud to be the first health plan who was a Yellow Ribbon company. And so we had a fairly large event last Friday out on our campus in Eagan with dignitaries from around the state. And it was a great celebration of a couple of years of hard work by the team to get us ready to become a Yellow Ribbon company.
And I understand General Nash was at that proclamation.
He was.
Was that the first time you'd met him?
It was, yes.
And I'm sure that was quite an event. Did a lot of people show up for it?
We had several hundred. We had the event in one of our buildings that has three stories, and they have balconies that can look over. So we had seating for about 200, and then we had the balconies all lined with employees from the rest of the organization. It was fabulous.
Sounds like quite an event, Avery.
It was fantastic. It was far bigger than we initially planned for. There's another gentleman that's on the resource group with myself who's former military, and our first plan was very modest. It was 3 sheet cakes and a microphone. And once we got senior leadership buy-in, we were able to make it a very special event. And it was a very special event for all of Blue Cross because the only reason we get to do this, to do the extra outreach, is because the normal employees, everybody else who does their job day-to-day, is so good at what they do. So it was a chance for us to say, thanks for being good at your job. This is what we get to do for Minnesota because you are.
And for those of you on that committee, you still have to do all your regular jobs, but,
of course.
But now you've got some extra things
of course.
To do.
But there's stuff we want to do. It's the icing on the cake. It's, you know, the reason you get out of bed.
Well, I'm glad you could come in and talk to us about it today. We have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about what it really means. How do you put it into effect, and what does it mean to you on a day-to-day basis? We're speaking with Avery Harrington and Stacia Cohen from Blue Cross and Blue Shield on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to two members of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota, our most recent Yellow Ribbon Company on today's show, Avery Harrington and Stacia Cohen. And Avery, I want to come to you now. We've learned about the process, and we found out you've got a veterans organization. You've got a committee that became helped go through the process to become Yellow Ribbon. You were proclaimed Yellow Ribbon in a ceremony about a week ago, and now you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you going to do with it?
Sure.
And what we like to talk about, or what Annette likes to talk about, is the commitments that you've made during the process to veteran recruiting, hiring, retaining. I want to talk about employment a little bit. Mm-hmm. How's that going to impact Blue Cross and Blue Shield? And is this really just more openly talking about things that have happened in the past?
Yes, actually. In the past, it would all happen on an informal level, mostly amongst veterans. But now that we are official, we have a lot more buy-in from leadership on all levels. So when I go out and I help our HR department at Veterans Recruiting Fairs, and I made three of them last year, what I do is I help identify those service members that have the best skills that don't show up on a resume. Excellent communicators, enthusiastic, empathetic. Kind of the short answer, the short way to describe them is the kind of people you'd want to work with 8 to 14 hours a day. Once we get their resumes, then I help line up their previous skill sets with current job openings. And then now that we have a bunch of senior leadership buy-in, we run into any issues as far as getting them at least an interview, we have pathways to open that up. And I was actually hired at a veterans recruiting fair that way by a senior VP.
So you've been on the other side of that, and now you got to go back and get some more. Bring them in.
It feels good to be on the other side of the table helping out, that's for sure.
Now we're really dealing with the question of when our young people sign up, go into the service, they get skills, they get training, they get the military occupational specialty, they go off to deployments, they go off to war, they supervise people, they have logistics, they're involved in administrative duties. But when they come back, it's hard for some employers to understand what training and what experience did you have in the service, and how can I put that to use in my company?
Exactly. And not only the direct experience or background, lining those up, but what do different ranks mean? So if you're a sergeant in your administration, it means one thing. Or if you're, say, a captain in your administration, it means another thing. So not just getting them into having the correct interviews, but make sure they're interviewing for the correct job, because we want to get the most out of everybody, not just get them in the door just to get them in the door.
So for the employers and the HR people and the recruiters, it's a question of, I have a captain here who was deployed for the last 2 years supervising 50 people
right.
in a war zone and did a good job.
Yep.
And here's his write-ups about it.
Yep.
How does, you know, if they hadn't been in the service, they wouldn't know level that was.
They wouldn't know where to begin. And I can navigate that really quickly with them. Usually in about 3 minutes, I can paint a very clear picture of who this person is, what they did, and how they can help.
So you're the translator for the company.
I am.
Yeah. And the recruiter. I like that. They got you, and now they're going to send you back. Go find some more of these guys.
Exactly.
So this really just, getting the Yellow Ribbon designation really just formalized the process for Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
It did. It said, we recognize that you're doing all this great work, and now as the state, we're going to say thanks for doing that.
Very good. And I want to come back to you, Stacia. We just touched on it a little bit in the first segment, but community outreach. What does that mean, and how's that going to impact you?
Well, that feels real central to Blue Cross's mission. For more than 80 years, Blue Cross of Minnesota has been committed to making a healthy difference in all of Minnesota. In not just our own members, but in the lives of all Minnesotans, and that includes our veterans. So this felt like a real natural extension of work that we have done for a long time in communities.
This must, by becoming Yellow Ribbon, it must amplify that effort, or maybe just super organize it within Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and give you the opportunity to meet with the Yellow Ribbon communities, the Yellow Ribbon schools, the Yellow Ribbon colleges, and to do some things to reach out and help our citizens here at home.
It absolutely does. Pretty soon we can just put a yellow ribbon around the whole state of Minnesota. Won't that be great?
Well, there's a few companies that still aren't, so maybe it's going to be easier. Before Annette's through, it's going to be easier to identify the ones that aren't. So
exactly.
She's on a mission. I want to come back to a little bit. By being Yellow Ribbon, I think, Avery, we talked a little bit about an upcoming event for Yellow Ribbon companies to get together and exchange best practices.
That's correct. The best part about becoming a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon for me, kind of selfishly, personally, is I get to steal the best ideas from everyone else that's been doing it already. There's no reason for us to reinvent the wheel. If 3M or Cargill has a really good idea that their human resources department had, or a different policy or procedure to help support those that are in need, I would love to take it and bring it back to our steering committee so we can implement it back at home. We don't have to come up with brand new ideas all the time. There's tons of great ideas that we can go implement on our own.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've attended one of those before, but I've attended several, and it's like a half-day event, and, and some people get up and give some presentations, and there's an opportunity to informally trade ideas and answer questions and find out, learn from those that have been there before, and of course, that's what education is all about, to speed up the whole process, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So that's coming up in February, and I think it's going to be hosted by Cargill this year, or this time. Okay, now, Stacia, you kind of were at the beginning of this, and if I understand Avery right, you were the executive that said, okay, yes, let's go. How's that working out for you?
Well, it's been wonderful. I helped shepherd the process, but I can't really take credit for all the work. That was a large team who made that all happen.
But you have to have executive buy-in for these things to work.
That is absolutely true. Although I have to tell you, it was not difficult to gain the senior leadership support in our organization. This fits really well with our values, with the kind of work that we do today. There was no, it didn't take any real salesmanship to shepherd this through our organization.
I actually have an anecdote about that. When we pitched senior leadership, one of them stopped, looked up, and said, "This sounds too good to be true. Why wouldn't we do it?" That's what I'm asking myself right now. It was such an easy sell to them that the only question in their head was, "What's the trick? What's the trap?" And there is none.
So when he rose that flag, it flew quickly.
Very quickly.
Yep.
And I would assume after that ceremony, they're pretty happy with it.
Absolutely.
Although
they recognize that this is more than about having a ceremony. This is really about doing the work every day to make a difference.
Sure, that's just the official recognition. Now you have to go get to work.
Absolutely.
It's never that easy, is it?
Absolutely.
Stacia, what would you have to say to other companies that are thinking about making a commitment to become Yellow Ribbon and support veterans and their families?
Well, as a veteran myself and being surrounded by really talented veterans in our organization, I would say that it would be difficult to find people who had as much ability to work in teams, to work under pressure, to bring imagination and courage to their work every day. You see that in spades in our veterans community. And so it shouldn't be such a leap to figure out how to figure out translating their skills into something really helpful and useful in the private sector.
And Avery, as a once a Marine, always a Marine, you found a home at Blue Cross and Blue Shield, didn't you?
I did. I wasn't initially looking into healthcare, but I went to the largest veterans recruiting fair at Earl Brown Center a couple years ago, and I told myself that I was going to talk to all 100 plus booths, and I made it to about 85. And when I gave my elevator pitch at Blue Cross, a gentleman started laughing a little bit behind the table, which is good. It was supposed to be funny. And he had someone write down a couple names, and I started talking again. He said, "Stop, you sold me." And a couple weeks later, I was sitting in his office, and a couple weeks after that, he'd lined up interviews with four directors and three managers, and one of them raised their hand, and that was about 2 years ago. It was a great journey.
Marine took that hill that day, didn't he?
He did.
He won that one.
Yeah.
All right, we just got a few seconds left. Stacia, any final thoughts for our listeners?
We just really thank you for the opportunity to talk with you today.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in, and congratulations on becoming a Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota. And look forward to seeing all of the things that you're going to be up to the next few years.
Thanks so much.
Yep, thanks.
That was Avery Harrington and Stacia Cohen from Blue Cross and Blue Shield in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about an upcoming Medal of Honor event coming to the Twin Cities. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
February is Black History Month, and I want to take a moment to honor our African-American veterans. those serving today, and those who have served throughout history. African Americans have played a significant role in our military history over the past 300 years, despite adversity and limited opportunities. Veterans of every race, color, and creed have strengthened our country, and diversity makes us stronger as a nation. Join me in celebrating Black History Month by honoring the significant contributions African Americans have made to our state and country.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Tiffany Kowaleski, who is Chief of Staff for the Medal of Honor Convention Twin Cities. Tiffany, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Tiffany, I know that we've got a big event coming up in October 2016, and it has to do with the Medal of Honor. And for those of our listeners that may not be aware of it, can you explain to me, what is a Medal of Honor?
Yeah, absolutely. The Medal of Honor is our nation's highest and rarest military decoration. Because of the nature of its criteria, the medal is often awarded posthumously. And throughout history, there have been 3,496 recipients that have received the Medal of Honor. Currently, there are 77 living recipients.
So this is a very rare honor given to our service members in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
And you're involved in an event that's going to come up called Medal of Honor Convention Twin Cities. Can you tell me what that is and how'd you get involved in it?
Yeah, the Medal of Honor Convention main purpose or objective is to form a bond of friendship and camaraderie among all recipients of the Medal of Honor. It's a way that states can bid on this event annually, and it's a rare opportunity to be able to showcase the living Medal of Honor recipients to your state and your state to the Medal of Honor recipients.
So this is an annual event that happens somewhere in the United States each year?
Yes.
And has it ever happened in Minneapolis before?
It has not.
And how many years has it been going on? Quite a few, but we'll fill that in later.
Yeah.
So how did you go about getting the event here? And I understand you were working with Liz Dapp, who is the chairwoman and president of Medal of Honor Convention Twin Cities.
Yeah. Liz went out and placed a bid for the convention to come here with the help of Meet Minneapolis, Visit St. Paul, Representative Detmer, and a lot of other wonderful people in the state here to help bring the convention here. And she went and presented to the society. They not only said that our bid was accepted, but it was the most well-executed bid that they had ever seen before. So she came back and developed a team and approached me about becoming her chief of staff. And Liz and I have known each other for a number of years. And her knowing my dedication to the military and the veteran community, my grandfather, my father, my stepfather, my uncles, and it goes on, have all served in some battle. And I have never had the opportunity to give back to my veteran community in a way that I've wanted to. And being able to be the chief of staff for this convention really is an amazing opportunity for me to give back, and I feel very fulfilled.
Well, congratulations. Good for you.
Thank you.
Now, Liz must have went to one of these conventions at another city or two, otherwise she wouldn't have been this organized.
Yes, she attended the 2014 Knoxville Convention with her husband, Tony Dapp, who is a 20-year Navy veteran. And they were able to sit down with some of the society members at a table, and they had said, "We have never had this in Minnesota before," and that's kind of how it got started. Then last year, Liz and I went to the 2015 convention in Boston and were able to gather quite a bit of recon on how we can bring this convention here and make it an epic once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for our state.
Okay, so tell me what happens at a convention. What happened in Boston?
So first off, we have to figure out security, military, airport, transportation, and whatnot. And so I went along to the ride with Barney Barnum, and I was so nervous to meet my first Medal of Honor recipient. And I'm studying, is it sergeant, lieutenant, is it this, is it that? And so I went and I approached him and I said, "Nice to meet you, Sergeant Lieutenant Barnum." And he goes, "Oh, please don't call me that. My name is Barney. That was my father's name. My mother called me that. My name is Barney. And I said, yes, sir. And he goes, no, it's Barney. And I said, okay. And from that moment on, I had realized that these are truly ordinary people who have done extraordinary things. Everything that they exude is pure and true, and helping out your fellow neighbor is what these citizens are all about. And while they're our greatest nation's heroes, they're also just like you and I.
We're speaking with Tiffany Kovaleski, who is the Chief of Staff of Medal of Honor Convention Twin Cities on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Tiffany, when it was held in Boston last year, how big an event is it? How many people come?
About a couple thousand, depending on which events that you go to. There are some small private events to some large public events. It really depends on which event that you go to.
So is this a one-day affair, or does it happen over a weekend?
Yeah, it's about a week. It's about 4 to 5 days, with some events leading up to it and some after it.
And so you have to figure out what that's all going to be like here in the Twin Cities in October of this year.
Correct. And each state is a little bit different. So while we were in Boston last year, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance. And while we bring the convention here to the Twin Cities, it's more about our youth and our community involvement with our youth circulating the entire state.
So the dates here is going to be October 4th through the 8th, 2016, here in the Twin Cities. And what type of events do you have planned over those few days?
We have everything from my favorite, the school visits, where the recipients attend local schools here in the community and talk to our children and youth. School visits are my favorite because the recipients go in and talk to the kids about being wonderful citizens in the community. There's also different sponsor dinners. And there's a memorial where the recipients get to recognize and remember their fellow brothers that have passed away that year, all the way ending up with a black tie gala.
Okay, it must be, I'm sure you're going to be real excited about the Medal of Honor recipients telling stories about how they receive their medals when they talk to these school children. That's got to be just fascinating. The school children probably love that.
They absolutely do. And you know, they're kind enough to get down, sit down with them. They really want to just be involved. They let them touch the medal, look at the medal, and really just find out what it is to be a good person with good characteristics like the Medal of Honor.
So I can see you found out last year when you met some of these guys that they're really down-to-earth people and they're approachable and they're just like the rest of us, only they had an extraordinary moment where they had an opportunity to take care of their fellow soldiers.
Absolutely.
Tiffany, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Medal of Honor Convention Twin Cities. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Tiffany Kovaleski, who is Chief of Staff of the Medal of Honor Convention Twin Cities, which will be coming to the Twin Cities October 4th through the 8th, 2016. And you can find more information on that on social media and on the website at mohtwincities.com. And Tiffany, I assume as the year unfolds and unwinds, as you can announce things, you will post it on your social media?
Absolutely.
So you'll be on Facebook and Twitter and the website?
Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Periscope, you name it.
Well, there's some of those I don't know what they are, but that's fine. So once again, that's mohtwincities.com, or go to Facebook and look for Medal of Honor Convention Twin Cities. Now, Tiffany, we started talking a little bit, but you've got a portion of this that's called the Character Development Program. Can you tell me what that is?
Yeah, the Character Development Program, or the CDP, is based on the 6 different characteristics of the Medal of Honor, which is courage, commitment, citizenship, sacrifice, integrity, and patriotism. It's what the Medal of Honor recipients go around to the schools and teach about what it is to be an extraordinary, doing extraordinary things and being an ordinary person.
Now, I suppose if you talked to a few of those, did you figure out that they never expected to be Medal of Honor winners, did they?
No, the recipients never expected to receive the Medal of Honor.
They were just doing their jobs.
Yes.
And they were put into an extraordinary circumstance, and they reacted well.
Exactly. And they are trying to do that, teach that to the students and the youth in the communities, that no matter where you are and what type of situation that you are in, no matter who you are, you can stand up at that moment and do an extraordinary thing if you're presented with that.
So if we all take care of each other, life's a lot easier, isn't it?
Exactly.
And these recipients have really done some extraordinary things to take care of their battle buddies and to do what was necessary at a very difficult point in their lives. And they really are an example to the rest of us, aren't they?
They really are.
So one of the fun things, I think, of this coming up this October is we're going to get a chance to hear from some of these Medal of Honor recipients.
Yes, we're very excited to bring them in.
Okay, we've just got a couple of minutes left. The event is going to be October 4th through the 8th here in the Twin Cities. It's called the Medal of Honor Convention Twin Cities. The website is mohtwincities.com, and you'll have it on the other social media. And we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners, Tiffany?
No, I just want to thank you for your service, Tom, and thank you for having the opportunity for us to be on this and for our state to have this opportunity. We're very excited.
And we'll check back with you as the year unfolds and get some more information on how this event is coming together. I hope you have a great one here in the Twin Cities, and I look forward to participating in it myself.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks.
That was Tiffany Kowaleski, Chief of Staff from Medal of Honor Convention Twin Cities. Now is Lisa Klink, President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer. Lisa, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
How are all our veterans up in Sibley County?
You know, I think they're doing well, and hopefully more will hear this, and they'll come into my office and see me and get those benefits.
And, of course, the thing we like to tell all of our veterans is go meet your county veteran service officer. You don't have to go to your county. You can go to the next county over if you want. Bring in your discharge certificate, your DD-214, get registered, and you never know, you might need that county veteran service officer's help sometime.
Exactly. Definitely get your DD-214 registered and sit down and talk with them. You know, have a conversation, because there may be things that you don't realize, and that CVSO is going to be able to help you and educate you on those benefits that you may be unaware of.
And even if you can't find that DD-214, go see them anyway, because you might be able to help them find a copy.
Actually, I can guarantee you we can help you find a copy.
Well, that sounds pretty positive, Lisa. I think today we wanted to talk about the Gulf War Syndrome. Can you tell me what that's all about?
Yes, and the Gulf War Syndrome, and ironic enough, the VA doesn't really like to tag it at that, but it's become the name of the Gulf War Syndrome, and most people are familiar with that term. And basically, it applies to those who served in Southwest Asia Theater during the military operations, and that actually from August 2nd to 1990 to present operations. And what that is, basically, is medically unexplained illnesses. Anything, you know, we're familiar with, like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, some other functional intestinal disorders that are just random, and also throw it in there, undiagnosed illnesses. And so there, whatever it was in that South Asian area, whether it was a burn pits, whether it was the oil burning, you know, who knows, there were soldiers coming back with these unexplained illnesses, and it became apparent through, you know, time and time, and vets going into the VA, you know, and in addition, filing claims for these unexplained illnesses, the VA realized that, hey, we need to do something. You know, they've acknowledged it, they've recognized it. Veterans are now getting service-connected for these diseases, and I think what a lot of times people don't understand is that those unexplained illnesses, those things, if you have them, if you have things that you can't understand and your doctor's not understanding and you served during this time, definitely come in and see us, talk to us. It's so important that we educate you on that.
So, Lisa, every theater war has some different circumstances, and over time certain patterns develop, and I'm sure since it's been quite a few years since the first Gulf War, they've got a lot of data on that.
Exactly. And, you know, I always tell people that you may have something now that's not something with regard to the VA's not recognized it. But every time we file a claim of something that such as this Gulf War syndrome, you know, that makes the VA aware of these illnesses, and it also, the registries could get created. You know, this happened in Vietnam, now it's happened with the registry for Gulf War. And, you know, now we're looking at Afghanistan, OIF, OEF veterans who are having these issues with burn pits. So it goes to reason, if those are issues that you have, the more you come, you talk to us, we talk to the VA, and we can let them be aware of those situations, because this is what comes about from veterans coming in and filing claims, is the VA finally does research, they acknowledge it, and they're getting service connection for it.
Now, Lisa, are there any time limitations on filing these claims?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, as effective December 31st of 2016, they're saying that these issues must emerge during your active duty service or by 12/31/2016. Now, it stands to reason this may change because of the fact that we still have folks in the Gulf War. We still have folks going to Afghanistan, Iraq, and so that I see possibly getting moved back, but at this point right now in the books, that's what they're saying.
So if our listeners have any of these type of issues, what do they do?
Most important, go see your county veteran service officer. I just want to encourage everyone. You know, we have, 87 counties, and we have a few that share duties with some additional counties. But I'm telling you, there's CVSO at every county that's there for you to serve you and are there to help you. And definitely go out there. If you're, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with that one, go to the next one. Go to the next county. We are all about helping veterans, and that's our number one job.
Now, Lisa, do the veterans have to call for an appointment, or do they just stop in? How does it work best?
You know, my office is, you know, if you walk in, I might have an appointment with me, but we will definitely see you. And I know there's some offices that have walk-ins all the time. Some have different hours. But I can guarantee you that assistant or that assistant CVSO or myself would definitely get an appointment scheduled and set up for you. So walk in. Most important, call, whatever it takes, get in the door.
And the last question, Lisa, is there a spring event for another spring training event for your CVSOs?
Yes, I'm actually pretty excited. We have two going on. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs put the spring conference on. And there's actually one up in Walker this year in March. And then we have one in Mankato this year for the southern region. And that's going to be in April. So I'm pretty excited about that. They do a great job. And we coordinate that effort with them to do some great training. I mean, it's so important for us as CVSOs to ensure that we're up to date the best that we can do for the job is to be up to date on our education for our veterans.
And keep track of all the resources out there to help them.
Exactly. And there's a lot of resources, and we're definitely going to connect them with those.
Lisa, thanks for joining us again today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was Lisa Klenk, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Sibley County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one important message today. If you're interested in serving those who served, the Minneapolis Veterans Home is looking for certified nursing assistants, health service technicians, and licensed practical nurses. Both full and part-time opportunities are available. Career fairs will be held at the Minneapolis campus on February 17th, 18th, and 20th. More details are available at minnesotaveteran.org. Interested applicants are encouraged to attend a career fair, tour a new facility, discover the benefits of state employment, and apply and interview for open positions. For more information on the career fair or to apply online, visit minnesotaveteran.org. And last, some of you may have heard the notices that there's a trip of a lifetime coming up to the D-Day beaches. That's going to be April 17th to April 27th this year. If you're interested, there's still openings to go. Please go to conservativetours.com. Click on the calendars. Go to April 17th. You can read all about it. Hope you can join me. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Avery Harrington, Stacia Cohen, Tiffany Kowaleski, Lisa Klenk, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we find out what's new with the 8th Army Reserve Battalion and learn why landlords love to rent to homeless veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.